For the year 1998, in our virtual tour, we moved to Kilmuckridge, the furthest south of the line of coastline churches that are part of our Domine group. And so once again, we think of Kilmuckridge not just as a place that sees to the care of its residents, but also welcomes many visitors. And being a coastline place, Kilmuckridge has in its historic lore many stories of adventures concerning the sea and shipwrecks and various marine incidents. And I suppose amongst the most famous, there's one particularly curious one which I'll mention, is there were a number of plane crashes or plane incidents in the area and off the coast of that part of Wexford during World War II. I'll just mention one. In September 1940, an RAF Hawker Hurricane crash-landed near Kilmuckridge, having taken part in an aerial skirmish just off the coast. The aircraft was one of a group sent from Wales to intercept a group of German bombers apparently heading for Liverpool. The RAF pilot, at any rate, was unhurt at the crash and was interned at the Curragh before escaping back to Britain. And one suspects he was kind of allowed to escape back to Britain and he became again involved in the war effort. But this is the lovely bit. His Canadian-built aircraft was repaired, taken over by the Irish Air Corps and flown as one of their planes until well after the war. There seems to have been even some kind of modest financial settlement for it. So I kind of think that's a wonderful little window on how the Irish interpreted a neutrality, interned pilots and made other people's aeroplanes their own. But I move forward to 1998. We have to remember, we must remember 1998 as the year of the Good Friday Agreement, a wondrous political achievement that largely brought to an end the years of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Its terms were accepted in referendums on both sides of the border on the same day. The Irish Constitution was amended to make the aspiration to Irish unity softer and consensual. There was a new understanding of the nation and identity, which was more about people than about turf. People, therefore, in Northern Ireland were allowed to choose to see themselves as British or Irish or both, and to be equally cherished in their choices. It was, as I've said, a wondrous political achievement. Of course, the passing years have revealed some of its unexamined consequences. No one saw Brexit coming. How do we handle more than 1 million people resident in the United Kingdom who are entitled to retain the passports and the accompanying rights of EU citizens and to have them vindicated? How does the border remain open if the Secretary of State ever decides to have a border poll and a majority of 50% plus one up for unity? Is that a recipe? Can it possibly be a recipe for peace? What might a united Ireland, or as we're now talking more and more of, a shared island, really look like? The end of the Troubles had a peculiar effect on the Church of Ireland too, in a manner that remains challenging. Last year, marking the 150th anniversary of disestablishment, a book of essays about our recent history came out, very much therefore part of the events we're commemorating in these reflections. And one of the essays refers to the challenge of the church witnessing effectively in two often contrasting political contexts. And this is what is said, and I think it's worth reflecting upon. The end of the Troubles in Northern Ireland had perhaps the peculiar consequence of reducing the empathy of the Southern Church with the Northern Church. In the days of violence and mayhem, there was constant prayerful empathy with co-religionists bearing the brunt of suffering. Now there can be a more detached impatience with how the North is perceived as inhibiting the South from responding pastorally to its own social and political context. There's a lot of unpacking there, and I'm sure it cuts both ways, but the coming of the peace led to new, lesser and non-violent tensions that provide challenges and opportunities for the church, but are also quite sensitive.